Good morning, apes. Hope everybody is doing fantastically well here this morning, and thank you everybody for joining us once again here on the Daily Peels video stream for the day. It is, of course, Friday, March 8th, 2024. Always very happy when it's Friday, but not super happy that it's only 9:24 a.m. here. We haven't seen markets open up just yet this morning. We have futures trading a little bit interestingly here in light of the job creation data coming out here this morning. We saw that 275,000 jobs get added. We're going to be talking about what it looked like as of yesterday and see how that kind of balances against what the market's expectations were. Make sure you stick around to stay tuned for a lot of that information. All right, but of course, we got a whole lot of other stuff to talk about as well. We got a lot of stock moves of the day. Victoria's Secret had its single worst day in history. In the entire history of this thing being a publicly traded company, yesterday, Thursday, March 7th, 2024, was the absolute worst ever. Then, of course, we did have Fed Chair Jerome Powell finishing up his testimony on the Senate. He finally gets to leave Capitol Hill, thank God. I'm sure that's his absolute favorite thing to do. I can imagine it would certainly be pretty much every rational person who has to stumble into that godforsaken place. But with no further ado, let's go ahead and check out the market snapshot here today. So, the WSMO Alpha portfolio had a pretty strong day yesterday. Not going to lie, when I was looking at the portfolio, I was like, this is great. We definitely outperformed, up 95 basis points, and obviously we got completely slammed. The S&P 500 was up 1.03%, 103 basis points, whereas the NASDAQ rose a massive 151 basis points. So it felt like I just got slapped in the face, basically looking at that data. We are still underperforming both indices for the year. Not entirely by too much, though. WSO Alpha up 8.63% on the year, with the S&P up 8.74%. We're all getting dominated by Bitcoin and especially Ethereum anyway, with both of those assets rising more than 50%, and Ethereum up more than 65% on the year so far. Definitely a solid year. It's always good to have that in the Alpha portfolio. And speaking of the Alpha portfolio as well, guys, me and the rest of the team are pushing on the finishing touches on the Tesla report here today, touching up some of these charts, making it look nice and pretty for you guys, because we know that reading is boring for nerdy losers, so we want to include as many charts as possible so that the cool people like you that end up reading the document can actually go through it, start to understand it a little bit without having to, you know, read or do something that actually requires brain power like all those losers do. All right. But before we talk about the Tesla report and more detail on that, because we'll give you an update later on in the conversation here, we got to go into some of these banana bits. So first and foremost, like we said, Jerome Powell did just finish up his testimony on the Senate here yesterday or on Capitol Hill with the Senate yesterday. It was one of the funniest things I've ever seen. We're going to cut to an absolutely hysterical video. Senator John Kennedy never fails to disappoint with the absolute retardation of his questions and other insights, but it was one of the funniest things I've ever seen asked in a Senate or congressional meeting. So definitely stay tuned for that. Got to click on the link in the actual, in the written edition here. Now, it is time to press control off the lead for the United States and for U.S. technology in China at the very least. China's government is coming out basically saying that they want to root out pretty much all American technology from their economy, from civil life, and just do it all in China. I mean, can't really blame them at all. You want to prop up a tech industry, don't rely on other countries. Definitely makes sense. I mean, it seems like a smart decision for them going forward. But what was not a smart decision, however, especially for the young people in America, like yourself, most likely, because I don't think my grandparents could even figure out a way to get on YouTube. And that's why I feel comfortable saying this, that elderly people and senior citizens have robbed us over the past couple of years. They've made an absolute bag in the aftermath of the pandemic, with their average wealth increasing $91,000. A lot of that is due to simply just home prices increasing. So they get richer while we get less and less affordable. Our odds of being homeless are skyrocketing, just as the wealth of our grandparents is. Hopefully they just, you know, remember us in the will. I know my grandparents sometimes struggle to remember my name, so I would be very surprised if that was actually the case, but they're making a whole ton of money. We're losing a whole ton of money. Hopefully they can remember us in their final days. All right, then finally, it seems like China might have taken it on the chin for the rest of us. There's this piece of talking about exporting deflation, which is something I didn't even look into here too much. Didn't even realize it was possible because it sounded like a nonsense headline, but I was super excited to talk about it here today. Basically, what they're saying is China is able to export those cost price. So as prices decline, that's reflective in their exports. And so that's making input costs decline all around the world. That's basically what the claim is in this article because of the deflationary pressures. And that helped Jay Powell and the rest of the central banks around the world land their planes very softly. Shout out to China if that is true. I mean, this is just kind of a hypothesis, doesn't prove anything, but definitely shout out to them. Let's get into some of these previews here today, because like we said, we did just get the jobs report. We have 275,000 damn hardworking Americans going out there, pulling themselves up by the bootstraps and starting to actually contribute to the economy, We all know that that is the most important thing to do. Listen, everybody loves work and everybody loves their job. I hope Patrick hears me say that as well. And we all know that that's really what life is about. It's about creating shareholder value, contributing to the economy, donating to this beautiful charity that we call the economy. And luckily, we did see a strong showing of that this month. Now, we were a little bit concerned going into it because if we go ahead and we take a look at past payroll reports over the past couple of months, it's been over 300,000, which is super outside the norm, but not necessarily in the post-COVID norm. It's not super outside of that. But if we look back historically, the interesting thing came, though, when we saw what the actual projection was from ADP. So you guys know ADP. I think it's Automatic Data Processing or something like that. They're a giant HR provider, so they employ a bunch of those nerds that probably called you out for saying the word gay in college or something. But these people, they track a lot of payroll softwares across the United States. We saw they reported on Wednesday 140,000 jobs increased in the month of February. Now, this was interesting because in January, people got a little bit concerned because the ADP report comes out about 2 days before the actual BLS report. And in January, ADP reported 107,000 jobs added. So we were kind of thinking it was going to be a bit of a weaker month. But then January slammed with 353,000 jobs added. So seeing ADP at 140,000, it's still obviously not a whole lot, but seeing that it was outsized at 107,000, it kind of gave us an indication that, yeah, this might be outperforming expectations. Expectations were sub 200,000 for this for the month of February, especially given that it's a shorter month, so there's just less time to be hiring people. But that's exactly what we saw nonetheless. Then this morning, we got that 275,000. We didn't get a chance to write about it in the piece here today, but what was interesting about this morning's report, that we'll be talking much more about on Monday once I figure out why the hell this happened. The unemployment rate actually ticked up from 3.7 to 3.9%. That's while adding jobs. So typically, the only explanation I can think of in very back of the envelope math would just be a lot of other people started looking for jobs and couldn't actually get them. That sounds like a lot of you guys that we talk to trying to break into high finance. So if that is you, make sure you check out the WSO Academy as well. Guaranteed job in high finance. You don't have to bring up the unemployment rate and you can start contributing to this economy once again. We need everybody. We need all hands on deck here. We're in the battle for our lives. It's for the United States. Do it for your country, guys. Come to the WSO Academy. But anyway, the main takeaway of this report was that, yes, tomorrow's report is probably going to be looking pretty strong. And while that's great for the actual real economy, it's not good for the bullshit Federal Reserve J-PAL economy, because strong job additions comes with strong wage growth as well. And we did see as well in the ADP employment report, it was the first month in over a year that wage growth for people who switched their jobs increased. Now, it's still been growing, like you still are getting a pay raise for switching your job, but this is the first time that that raise has increased on a month-to-month basis in more than a year at 7.6%. We probably are starting to see a little bit more of that wage push inflation. That could be contributing to the recent upticks that we've seen in PCE, CPI, pretty much inflationary pressures across the board. So it's a little bit scary when we talk about the bullshittery in the J-PAL economy, but it's great for the real economy. More Americans making more money, getting more jobs, and spending more of that money, because that's really what it is all about. Loving your job, just showing up there and creating shareholder value so that you can then take that shareholder value that you create, go to another business and give them dollars so that they can create shareholder value. Now that's a bar right there. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I might have to drop a rap song about that or something, just how important it is to always be creating that shareholder value. I mean, we know that here at WSO. I definitely hope Patrick hears me say that part. All right, let's go ahead and move on down into the stock movers of the day before I say something to get myself in trouble here. Oh my God, I didn't even double check the order of the percentages here today. I hate when I do this. I think it just looks sloppy, but we're going to go in the order that's written. So we had New York Community Bancorp actually had a positive day. They opened up like 30% and then traded lower for the entire day, finishing up about 5.8%. And basically, they got some big news. I'm surprised it's less than 6% that they moved higher. But basically what happened was a consortium of investors led by former Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin, which I looked it up, and that is how it's pronounced, Steve Mnuchin, went ahead and led a $1 billion funding round into the bank. That's going to keep it alive for a little bit, but they are still ridiculously exposed to CRE loans that are definitely going to default over the coming months. So this is more of a Band-Aid rather than life-saving surgery, but maybe it could lead to, like, could be one of those things that you see in movies where, like in The Revenant, you know, the guy gets fucked up by that bear, but he's able to, like, walk away from it somehow. Maybe New York Community Bancorp is going to be like a bear-torn Leonardo DiCaprio. We certainly could see that. They wish they looked as good as Leo, but the balance sheet is uglier than, you know, he was in that movie. And then, so the backing from the Treasury Secretary is huge, not only in a finances department, but in like a perception department. So everybody else seeing this says, you know, hey, if the former Treasury Secretary is in on it, maybe I should be too, maybe I should be bullish. That's why we saw shares start to rise again. They haven't really seen the deposit flight that everybody's worried about. So fingers crossed we don't see another meltdown in March like we did last year. But it would be kind of fun if that became an annual tradition, as long as you're not a shareholder or a depositor at the bank. All right, let's go down to Kroger here. Personally, I don't know if I've ever been in a Kroger store in my entire life. Shout out to the Northeast and shout out to Stop and Shop as well. That's what I grew up on. Big Harris Teeter guy these days. So let me know what your favorite grocery store is as well. And don't even come at me with Publix, all right? I heard so much good shit about Publix. Yes, they have decently good subs, but they're super overrated. You can get that at Harris Teeter as well, and it's probably going to be a little bit cheaper. God damn it, you could probably go get it at Food Lion, and it's still probably just as good. Either way, Publix is way overrated. Harris Teeter and Stop and Shop for the win. Harris Teeter literally has a bar in the grocery store. It's fantastic. Let us know what your favorites are, because Kroger and Albertsons are getting into the mix of things with the FTC lately. They have to take on Miss Lena Walking L. Khan as the FTC looks to block the merger between Kroger and Albertsons, two of the largest grocery stores in the United States. They've identified a shit ton of areas across the country where, I don't fucking know, these two companies are like the dominant players in the market. Whatever nonsense they need to do to get a pay raise and actually hopefully keep their position within the Biden administration if he wins another election. But of course, yesterday we actually did see some good news for Kroger. They basically came out with an earnings beat. They beat across the board, but the really exciting part was seeing some of those new developments they have going forward. Somehow this grocery store is able to get in on the AI craze more so than Apple has been. They basically came out and said that they were going to be using AI bullshittery for shit like, I don't know, inventory, customer tracking, whatever nonsense grocery store owners would want to know. But Kroger, more of an AI company than Apple right now, it's looking like. All right, definitely not an AI company. It's going to be Victoria's Secret. Looks like they finished up and it wasn't actually the worst day in their entire history yesterday. It was at the midpoint of the day. They were down like 36-something%, finished down about 19.7%. And it's exactly what you'd expect. It was a tough, tough earnings call. Listen, I think the real problem here is we all know that everybody in our generation, and me especially, aren't having any sex at all. Nobody is getting attention from the opposite sex. I don't care how beautiful you are or if you're even as ugly as me. Nobody's really having sex, so nobody is looking sexy either. Victoria's Secret sales have been on a decline for the past couple of years. That continued in 2023. They are saying that 2024 is the year they're going to stop the sales decline, but that's kind of a tough thing to get excited about if you're a shareholder. Either way, it was tough. They are projecting at least a little bit of a revenue increase, but it's nothing to get excited about. Moving on down to ADT. I don't know if you guys have traded this stock, but you've definitely heard it or set off the alarm at your friend's house during a sleepover, for example. I don't know if I'm the only one that's had that traumatic experience, but let me know if you guys can relate. The security company, go check out their Wikipedia page because they have a really interesting history. They were founded way back in like 1860. It's like post-Civil War this company was founded. They were doing the same thing with the technology they had back then. Apparently, like, neighborhoods would use telegraphs to, like, give each other a heads up, like, hey, my house is fucking getting broken into. My wife and kids are tied up. Somebody come help me. Now, it seems like a rather shaky system, but people back then, I'm told, actually had honor. So maybe that's what they were relying on. Either way, didn't get a whole lot to rely on in Q4 because they had a very tough earnings call over the other day. But that really wasn't the main problem of the day yesterday. They came out and said that they were going to be doing a secondary offering. So basically, all this means they're not raising money. They are just offering more shares, which basically means they're diluting the shit out of shareholders. They're selling that for $6.50 a pop. This is part of a stock repurchase plan as well. So it is a more complex stock repurchase plan, but it's not like they're raising money or anything. All they're doing is basically taking treasury stock and repurchasing that through these other entities that they've been using. It's companies like Apollo. And the big problem is that they did it at $6.50 a pop, which is below the current market price. So people are getting a discount and it's dilutive to existing shareholders. Obviously, nobody wanted to hold this on the day that that happened. So this shit dropped like a rock. All right. And then speaking of dropping, J-Pow did drop the mic on Capitol Hill yesterday. He finally got to finish up his two-day roast session. I'm sure he's sitting at home, head banging to the Grateful Dead with his wife or doing something weird that a Federal Reserve, a 71-year-old man, and especially Federal Reserve chairman, probably shouldn't be doing. But either way, I would love to see that. You know, everybody talks about $500,000 to dinner with Jay-Z. If you're not taking the $500,000, you're an absolute moron, because what is Jay-Z going to tell you? Like, oh, bro, you got to spit on the bars like this. That was the whitest thing anybody has ever said on the internet, so please roast me for it. But it's like, what is he even going to tell you? Whereas $500,000 with J-Pal, that could actually be profitable. If you got that guy to tell you what rates were going to be at the end of the year. Now, he obviously has no fucking idea what they're going to be, but if somehow he did have that foresight, he said, you know, he lowered his voice, pulled in close and said, listen, David, we're going to have interest rates at about 4.25% in December. Then you would know what to do. I would pour my entire life savings into NVIDIA and the rest of the big tech stocks and just absolutely ride it up to the moon, probably make more than $500,000. But either way, that's not what we had yesterday. Politicians don't have to make that decision. They just get the goods without actually having to pay for it. And so they got to talk to this guy for quite a while. Now, we didn't really see a whole lot of changes in interest rates on the move yesterday, but a week ago, the highest odds for the end of the year Fed funds range was about 4.5 to 4.75%. Now it's 4.25 to 4.5%. So that was really the biggest notable change over the whole thing of the 2 days. The most important thing that happened, quite honestly, was probably that video of John Kennedy asking Jay Powell if he was aware of like the sex problems of a low-level employee at the FDIC. I have no idea how you could even make that seem like it was warranted for this part of the conversation, but it was absolutely hysterical. Go and check out yesterday's edition because there's a link at the bottom of Macro Monkey with it. Funniest thing that I've ever seen in my entire life. All right, and then of course, we had to finish off the day with a quote from the Swiss investor Mark Faber. We're talking all things Federal Reserve here lately, and we're definitely going to be doing it in a couple of weeks with the next Fed meeting and the next summary of economic projections. We got Mr. Mark Faber saying, I believe the market is slowly waking up to the fact that the Federal Reserve is a clueless organization. They have no idea what they're doing, and so confidence levels of investors is diminishing in my view. That certainly does make sense. Pretty much confidence in ourselves across the board is kind of diminishing across the board in the United States especially. So that could be something to do it. Very pessimistic, not that we're leaving off on here today, but it is now 9:40 a.m. So let's go ahead and see what markets are doing here this morning. See if anything's for moving higher, lower. Yeah, we are moving higher. We got the NASDAQ opening up 43 basis points higher, the S&P up 29 basis points higher. It looks like we got a lot of solid movers on the day so far. Definitely can't be too mad, but hey, you know, we know that this is the most important video you guys watch every day to get you ready to gamble your life savings and probably lose a whole ton of it. But either way, best of luck to everybody out there. Happy investing, happy trading. Thanks for joining us as always, and we'll see you guys next time. Bye now.
And thanks to you, my listeners at Wall Street Oasis. If you have any suggestions whatsoever, please don't hesitate to send them my way, Patrick at wallstreetoasis.com. Until next time.